Which in the nature of rock is there probably going to be.
It's often happened.
Rabosai. What we're going to do is try to see a self-contained unit here, like we did last time with, if you remember, with the COVID. And this is the sugya of keva. So we begin with the Mishnah, and we'll take a look at Mishnah and the Gemara. The Gemara goes up to the two dots here on Daf Kuf Dot Tezayin Amid Beis, and we hope to get to that. And we'll see this as a sort of introduction. This sugi goes on and on. The Mishnah says the following. Kevas oved kochavim v'shel nevela harezu asura. And then the Mishnah goes on to speak about how mamid bi'ar shel keva k'shera. So the difference between these two statements of the Mishnah is that whereas the first statement is referring to the keva, the second is referring to the R of the keva. And as we go through the sugya, we'll see that there's a fundamental difference between the two. In the first case of keva, the resha, we're talking about what's called chalav karush, which is congealed milk. And that's found in the stomach of an animal. So even though the word keva means a stomach, but in the Mishnah, what we're referring to with the word keva is the chalav itself. Now the chalav itself goes through different stages. Initially it's clear, and then it becomes more congealed. And this chalav came into the stomach of the animal from another animal. You know, it's a kid, it's a young calf that suckled from its mother, and that's where it got its challah from. Now, the question here is, why does the Mishnah say harezu asura? So if you take a look, the Mishnah says shel oved kochavim or shel nevela. Now let's just think about this. We're not talking about an animal. What would be the opposite of Oved Kochavim Shel Nevela? What would be the flip side? A Kshera, or Tahora, if you will, right? We have basically two categories of animals. We have Behemah Tmei and a Behemah Tahora. And the status of a Nevela, for our purposes, is the same as the status of a behemah tmeya. I mean, the only difference is that a nevela could be a kosher animal, but it didn't have shechita, whereas a behemah tmeya is a non-kosher animal. But in both cases, the meat itself, the guf ha-behemah, is also, right? So it's also whether it comes from a kosher animal that died without shechita, or it's also because it's the meat of a non-kosher animal. And our Mishnah seems to focus our attention on a nevela. Rashi already points out that there's a simple problem in the Mishnah. What's the difference between Oved Kochavim and Nevela? We know that the Shechita of an Oved Kochavim is Nevela. It's not considered halachic Shechita. As far as halach is concerned, it's as if the animal died by natural causes without Shechita. The fact that the Oved Kochavim, the guy, picked up a chalif, he picked up some sort of a sword, and he cut off the two simonim of an animal, that's not considered valid shechita. So the animal is called what? A nevela. So the Gemara Rashi says is going to immediately ask this question. That's going to be the sugi Rav Huna and Shmuel, as to why the Mishnah had in its ratio to mention both shel Oved Kochavim v'shel nevela. They're both exactly identical. In fact, in both cases, it's very logical to assume that the animal is a kosher animal, as far as the species of the animal, it's a behemah tahora. But nevertheless, in both cases, what we're lacking is shechita. And if we're lacking shechita, the animal is called a nevela, And as we said, it has the same status as non-kosher animals. So what does this mean? Harezu asura. So you found this chalav inside an animal. Now there are two ways of looking at it. In other words, how do we define this chalav? This congealed milk, as we called it. The chalav karuf, in Hebrew it's called. Kuf, resh, vav, shin. One way of looking at it is to see, well, where did the milk come from? Because the milk is contained as a kanus viomed, like we're learning now in our Ksubis Gemara about dam mifkid pocket. Or maybe the chalav itself is an entity independent of the animal.
Just deposited there.
And just deposited there, right? It's in the car park, as we'd say. And now we have to figure out where it came from. You know, if this young suckling animal was yonekes from a kosher animal, then the milk should be kosher. If it was yonekes from a non-kosher animal, so the milk of a non-kosher animal is not kosher. And that's a principle that's very fundamental in Masechet Chulin called Hayotze Min Oser Oser. Anything that comes from a non-kosher animal is also non-kosher. So if this milk came from a non-kosher animal, again, keep in mind, the animal itself could be very well be that it's kosher. I mean, obviously it's kosher, because otherwise why did the Mishnah have to mention that it was a nevela? Nevela is indicative of the fact that the animal is a kosher species. But the question is, just because the animal is kosher, that doesn't mean that it didn't suckle from a non-kosher animal. That's possible. And then the milk becomes non-kosher. If on the other hand, I would assume that aslin and basar rubel, let's say we assume that in most cases, this kid is going to suckle from a kosher animal, and therefore the milk itself is kosher. Oh, but there's another possibility. Forget about the fact that the milk in its original source might be kosher. But now the milk is found in an animal that's nevela. And if we don't view the milk as a separate entity, but rather we view the milk as part and parcel of the animal, and we're going to have to see whether that's a Doraisa halacha or a Drabbanan halacha, but be that as it may, insofar as I view it as gufa behema, then this behema is what? Nevela. If this behema is nevela, then every single part of this animal is asur, including the chalav of the keva, including this chalav karush that has the status of the gufa behema. Now again, intuitively, if I were to ask you which of the two directions makes more sense to you, what would be your assumption? Is this chalav karush to be attributed to the chalav of the outside source, and therefore it has the same status as the animal that from which it suckled? Or should we view this chalav as part and parcel of the animal itself? What would be your, Josh, what would you say?
Second option.
You see it as part of the animal. Even though, again, it didn't grow in the animal, and it wasn't produced by the animal. So why do you assume that it's part of the animal? I'm just curious.
It's a shinui, no? There's some sort of
shinui. Ah, you want to say that it underwent some sort of shinui? Maybe. And why would that shinui make it part of the animal and therefore nevela?
Well, not part of the animal, but it's exerted its influence, exerted something from, some influence from the animal onto the milk.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. So somehow the animal has an impact on the milk itself, and therefore the milk gets the status of the animal. I thought that the simple way of going intuitively would have been the opposite. You don't mind if I disagree with you, Josh. Doesn't mean I'm right and you're wrong. Those are not the rules of our classroom. You know, we're just learning the sugya together. But I'm just saying, my impression would be the opposite. Intuitively, I would have said that this milk, insofar as it's an entity unto itself, doesn't come from the body of the animal. It's not produced by the body of the animal. It's not what we call yotze min ha'asur. So even though the animal per se is nevela, the chalav comes from a different source. Now rack your brains and try to figure out what that source was. Was it a kosher animal? And therefore it's yotzim and a mutter mutter? Or was it a non-kosher animal? It's yotzim and also also.
But that would be true if it was just milk. If it was the same milk that had come from the kosher source, it was now the same milk. It had just gone through different pipes, so to speak.
Right.
But now that it's started...
Congealing.
It means that it wouldn't have done that had it not been in this new source now.
I see what you're saying. So you're saying that I don't know enough of the biology to comment, but what you're saying is that the process of congealing this milk, in which it became chol of karush, that itself is a result of the, shall we say, the keva, you know, the keva meaning the stomach, you know. Or alternatively, we might say that this is all Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan made Xera here, and they wanted to assume that just like when you open up the nevela, every single part of the animal is us. So they wanted to ask her even the chol of karush in the keva itself. I don't know. But be that, yeah, go ahead.
One of the problems is we see that it's talking about behavior of Oved Kochavim. Why would it then speak about the Nevela?
Right.
So maybe that when you talk about Oved Kochavim, if you got an animal from Oved Kochavim,
right,
there he might have drunk milk from
excellent, from good. And so you're machaving to the sugya of Rav Huna and Shmuel, that the reason why the Mishnah went out of its way to mention Oved Kochavim is because in the case of the Oved Kochavim, we have more reason to assume that even though the milk gains the status of its source, right, of the mother that from which it suckled, I use the word mother in inverted commas, nevertheless, it's more likely that source would be a behemoth male. Because the Oved Kochavim has a lot of animals in his herd, and he's not careful to check out the kashrus of the animal. But the only problem is, Doc, if you're going to go, I just want to point out the problem. If you're going to go with that direction, so then you might say the following: that there are two different isurim here. In other words, what I mean to say is that if the oser of this animal is the source of the milk, meaning it came from a non-kosher animal, then in the case of nevela, the chiddush is that the status of this milk is determined not by its source, because again, we're no longer talking about Oved Kochavim, but by the goof of the behemoth itself.
That's why I say it should be both.
And it may be just be both. And then the Mishnah is setting up two osrim, one oser b'toras, the makar, the source of the milk, i.e. that it came from a non-kosher animal, and the other oser is the guf ha-behema, insofar as it's a nevela, even if it's a kosher animal. Alright? So you're on board. And that's going to come from the sugya itself. So I don't know if you got a chance to see the sugya, but if you didn't, then I'm very impressed. You could have written the text. You could have written the text. Alright. So now we go on. So again, what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? The Reisha establishes that when you find this Chol of Karush, it's Asura. And why is this Chol of Karush Asura? Because you found it where? In a Nevela. Or alternatively, Oved Kochavim. We don't know exactly why the Mishnah had to add Oved Kochavim, because that too is a Nevela. Then we go on to the Seifa of the Reisha, the next line in the Mishnah, and that's Hamamid Bi'ar Shel Keva Kshera. Okay, now we go on to talk about something slightly different. And what we're going to see here is that now he takes this R of Keva Kshera. Again, we're no longer talking about the Keva, we're talking about the R. The R is the stomach itself. Now the stomach, insofar as it's part of the body, is clearly what? Nevela, correct? That's Nevela. However, in our Girsa in the Mishnah, it says Kshera. Is that what you have? What do you have in your text? You have the word Kshera? Okay. So that's a whole problem. Whether you take a look in the Hagos HaBach, the Hagos HaBach says Tevas Kshera Nimchak. He wants to erase the word Kshera. Okay, fine. But let's assume, for argument's sake, that this animal, per se, is an Nevela. Correct? Again, the animal itself is an animal, it's a Kshera, meaning it's what you call a Behemah Tahora, but nevertheless, the animal did not have Shechita. That's one way of learning the Mishnah. The other way of learning the Mishnah is Adarabba. The reason why the Mishnah, if you don't accept the Bach, added the word Kshera is to tell you that this animal was not a Nevela. No, let me ask you a question, Rabbosai. If this animal is not a nevela, correct? So then, why would the Mishnah have a problem here? In fact, the Mishnah is going to talk about no same time or ain't a no same time. And if it's going to be no same time, then it's also. Now, the Vishlema, I would say, if you take out the word kshera like the Bach does, then we're talking about nevela. And if we're talking about nevela, we have a serious problem of isa nevela. But if you add the word kshera, and we're not talking about a nevela, we're talking about an animal, a kosher animal that was shechted properly. So what's the problem here in this Mishnah? So in order to answer that question, we have to ask a more fundamental question. What is he doing with this keva? What's he doing with this stomach? With the R of keva, okay? Yeah, he's going to make cheese in the R of the keva. Now, with that, the two ways of making cheese. You know, one way of making cheese is to extract the milk that's karush. Right? Again, the milk that's karush is called rennet. You've all heard of rennet, okay? If you were a chemist, you would know the chemical compound. Rennet actually has within it something else that's called an enzyme called renin. Okay, it doesn't matter. The names are not relevant for us now. But be that as it may, that is an enzyme. That's a chemical substance that's used in cheese making because it helps curdle the milk. There are many other ways of curdling milk, but one way is to use rennet. And that's considered keva. Here, instead of extracting the milk, which we called chalav karsh, that is rennet, what he did was, he used the stomach itself for the purpose of curdling the cheese. That's called ar keva. Now, what issue do we have now? Not in terms of the status of the milk, but the status of the cheese. Do you follow the ratio of our Mishnah is talking about the status of the quote-unquote milk. That's the curdled milk, the congealed milk that's called keva in the Lashon Mishnah. And the seifa of the ratio, we're not asking about the status of the milk itself, because that itself would be a problem only either in a non-kosher animal or an animal that was kosher but died without shechita. Now we go on to the Sefer, the Reisha, and we're talking about a Behema Kshera that was shechted properly, so we're no longer talking about the status of the Keva itself. The Keva itself is clearly Mutter. That's what I would assume. We'll see how this all shows up in Shulchan Aruch, in Yardea. But we're talking about the R Keva. I mean, we're talking about the stomach. And the stomach apparently gives what? If you use the stomach, the lining of the stomach to congeal the milk, it gives what, Rav Osai? What's the key word? Tam. Correct, tam. Nope. So let it give tam. Who cares? It's a ksheira kointag girsa, meaning it's an animal that is kosher. And not only that, it was shefted properly. So it's neither a behema, a tmeya, nor a nevela. What's the problem? Why can't he take this stomach and use it for the curdling of milk, of cheese, making cheese out of it? What's the answer, Rav Osai? Possible. So again, what we have here is a fundamental distinction between the ratio of the ratio and the seifa of the seifa. In the ratio of the ratio, the subject is iser nevela. In the seifa of the ratio, the subject of the Mishnah is the iser of basar b'chalav. Why is it basar b'chalav? Says the Mishnah, and here we turn to Kuf Tezayin Amid Beis, im yesh b'no sein tam. Right, if this lining of the stomach that we called ar keva gives tam into the cheese, into the milk, then harezu asura. Now we have a mixture of milk and meat, because the stomach itself has the din of basar. Whereas the gvina, obviously, the cholav, has the din of cholav. You now have the sinus tam basar into cholav. You have a problem of basar b'cholav. Correct? However, if there was no nesinas tam, again, we have to understand how to gauge whether there's nesinas tam or not. Generally speaking, how do we gauge whether the nesinas tam? We've spoken about this many times. Shishim, correct? So if let's say there's no nesinas tam, then you have no issue with regard to basar b'cholav. Because basar b'cholav is only also been nesinas tam. Now how do I know that basar b'cholav is only also been nesinas tam? So for that we have a Mishnah on Daf Kuf Ches. Let's take a look on the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Ches Amid Aleph. Tipas cholav shenofal chaticha. You have milk that fell onto meat. Let's assume everything's hot. Everything depends upon whether or not there was nesinas tam, which means that the ratio between the drop of milk and the meat is 1 to 59. If aimbom mishum nesinas tam, if the ratio is 1 to 60, then everything is mutter. Now the Mishnah applies that same standard to the case of the stomach of an animal that was used to curdle milk. And now the question is, what is the impact of that stomach on the milk itself? Now, before we go on to the sugya of Rav Huna and Shmuel, I'd like to point out a Tosfos here. Tosfos says the following: Hamamid bi'or shel keva im yesh ba b'no seinta tema. The Gemara mefarish tema di asu gvinas ovdei kachavim. The Gemara itself, okay, this is a sugya in Masechta Sanhedrin. Excuse me, in Masechta Avodah Zarah. I don't know why I said Sanhedrin. It's all in the same. It's in the same krach, but that's about it. Says that the reason why you're not allowed to buy cheese from Ovdei Kochav, we're going to see it also here in our sugya, is because the Ovdei Kochavim will use the R of the keva itself to curdle the milk. And the R of the keva in the case of Ovdei Kochavim is kevas nevela, right? The stomach itself is nevela. So the question is, wait a second. Our Mishnah says that if you took the stomach of a kshera and you used it to curdle milk, and let's assume it's no same time, then you have an iser of bas b'chalav. So why does the Gemara assume that the problem of non-Jewish cheese is a problem of nevela? Forget about nevela. Let's assume that it was a kshera. Again, the Gemara, this is what we have to know in order to appreciate this Tosfos. When the Gemara wants to know what's the problem with why is non-Jewish cheese considered not kosher? The Gemara says not that you have a problem of milchiks and fleishiks, in other words, when the stomach and the stomach lining, the Ara Keva, is used by these Ovdei Kochavim in order to curdle the milk. The Gemara says that the problem is that stomach is an avela. So Tosfos says, wait a minute. Our Mishnah says that even if it's a kshero, we have a problem in the case of our keva. Why does the Gemara say shemamidin in the case of akum amidim also be our kevas nevela afilum timtzalom shemamidim also be our kevas kshera? We still have an Iser here. And by the way, the Iser is even more chomer than Nevela. Why is it more chomer than Nevela? That's why I think on the lines is Tosfos Kasha.
Iser Noah.
Correct. And what else?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm trying to understand the Kasha here. Are you saying that the Havamin is that the Gemara wouldn't need to say that because we would know it already?
No, not exactly like that, Josh. What we're saying is the Gemara seems to limit the issue of non-Jewish cheese to nevela, meaning I assume that the animal. Let me give you the following scenario. Supposing the guy would have a hechsher sign from the Rabbanut that testifies to the fact from Badatz, okay, and testifies to the fact. Wait, Josh, you're going to the army. Okay, so I don't know. Maybe you might want to rely on the Rabbanut then, because I'm not sure you'll always get Badatz. I tried for 6 weeks to get Badatz in the army, and I couldn't. You know, yeah. Once I went into Miluim because I did Shlav Bet. You know, they got rid of me after 6 weeks, and from then on, I did Miluim for the next 13 years. But in the army itself, I couldn't get Badatz. I tried. I was chummy with the Rav of my base, but I couldn't. It wouldn't help me to get Badatz, because Badatz costs a little bit more. Anyway, so getting back to this. So let's say the guy has a hechsher, a tuda, that says that all the stomach linings that he used to curdle his cheese were all from a Jewish source. He bought them from a Badatz Jewish butcher. It would seem to imply that cheese would be mutter. What, right? Why? Because the Gemara says that you can't buy cheese from a guy because Mamidin also be R Kevas Nevela, emphasize the word Nevela. But let's say it was a Kshera. Let's say he, the guy, bought the meat from a guy, from a Jew. So it's kosher meat. It's got the best texture you want. But if he threw it into his milk to curdle it and make cheese, we have a different problem, says the Mishnah. Namely what? Basa b'chala. And that, the Mishnah says, is even with a Behemah Kshera. So Tosis asks again, let's understand the Gemara seems to qualify, and in the sense restrict, the Iser of Gevinas Akum to Nevela. What's it got to do with Nevela? I have a much more serious problem. I got a problem of Basa b'chala. As the Rabbi said, Basa b'chala is also even Be'anon. Not only that, the Rabbana makes so many Xeris with regard to Basa b'chala, there's no end to it. Dash, you got the cash of Tosis? Let's see it inside. The main thing is I want you to see it inside, because you know I can pontificate here from now till Mashiach Zeit, but I want you to learn how to read it inside. Tema. You have it? Tema. To be Gemara Mefarish Tema Di Asu Gvinas Ovdekol Chom Mipneshim Amidim Rosam B'R Kevas. What's the next word? This is what you have to underline. Nevela. That when you buy cheese from a non-Jew and he doesn't have a hechsher, so you assume that he took his own private stomach lining of a cow or whatever animal it was, and he used it for what? For curdling milk, because the stomach lining has this enzyme in it, correct? And that's called nevela, because any animal that the guy has is becheskas nevela, correct? We don't assume that a guy's animals were shechted by a Jewish shochet. Factosis, my iria nevela. Who can tell me what my iria means? Whenever you see the words my iria, it means why do you limit it? My iria, why do you limit your statement, your din? To nevela, afilu ksheira nami. I gave you this dramatic case where he has a hechsher that all his stomach linings come from Badat's hechsher. It wouldn't make any difference, as Tosfos. It still is a problem. Why? Because if you use rennet, and not just rennet, but you use the stomach lining itself, right? That's the original source of the rennet contains the rennet. You're using it as an enzyme to curdle your milk. You've got a problem of basar b'chala. Oh, now here, in order to appreciate Tosfos' answer, we have to go back again to Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. Abaye, back on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, sees a world in that Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if a drop of milk, well, that might be your wife, if a drop of milk falls on a piece of meat, then, assuming that drop of milk was 1 to 59 against the meat, it's basa b'chala. Why? Now keep in mind that this milk could be a very small volume. Again, if the meat is limited in its volume, then the milk is limited in its volume. So Abaye wants to derive from this Mishnah, tucked away in Chulin Kufches, a phenomenal principle. And that's called Tam Ki Iker Doraisa. That the Torah recognizes Tam, it's as if you have in front of you a major piece of cheese that was cooked with a major piece of milk, of meat, and you created Basa B'chala. But we only have a Tam here. So why does the Mishnah say that if you have Tam, because basically what you're eating is a piece of meat. But if you gave that meat to what's called a kfela, that's a non-Jewish chef, to taste, and you say, you know what? I taste a little milk in the meat. If that be the case, says Abaye, this Mishnah is establishing for once and for all that Tam Ki Iker is Do'oraisa. Says Rava. Amalei Rava, you have no proof from our Mishnah. Why? Because Derech Bishol Asrito. That basa b'chala is only prohibited if it was generated by a maisa bishul. So I'll tell you the following. We have something called kavush. Remember we discussed kavush. You have meat soaking in milk for 24 hours. And now the meat gives tam into the milk. You give the milk to a kfela, and he tells you it tastes meaty. That's called kavush. So the Rishonim say, pe'echad, unanimously, that's only derabbanan. Why? Because kavush, although it is a mechanism of what we call blia, pleita and blia, in other words, when you soak something for 24 hours, there will be a transfer of time. Nevertheless, it's not what? To quote the words of Rava, derech bishul asr Torah. Kavush is not a ma'aseh bishul. And that's why if somebody would do an act of kavush on Shabbos, even though Bishol is one of the 39 melachos, he would not be chayv. Kavush is only nesinas tam, but it's lacking Bishol. Says Rava, I need two conditions to generate a chefta of basa b'chalv. I need number one, that it was derech Bishol, and number two, it gave tam. The Mishnah was talking about a case where it gave tam. Okay? If it gave tam, then you call it derech Bishol. Let's say the hot milk falls into hot meat. That's called derech Bishol. But says Rava, if that milk was such a minimal volume of milk that it doesn't give tam into the basa, that's not called Bishol. And the Torah says the basa b'chalv is only awesome because it's Bishol. If you would have asked me what would be in Shar Isurim other than basa b'chalv, where there's no precondition of Bishol. For example, if let's say I take a piece of nevela and I soak it in rotev, you know, in some sort of a sauce, and it sits there for 24 hours, then that itself, that rotev, insofar as it received the tam of nevela through kavush, would be asur d'oraisa. It would be asur min haTorah. Why? Because there's no precondition of Bishol. There's only one Iser, which can only be generated if and when you did Bishol. And that's called Basa B'chalv. If you take that back now to our Tosfos, look at the brilliant answer of our Tosfos on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Why is the problem of Gvinas Akum limited to Nevela? Says Tosfos, Yesh Lomar. The Mishum Basar B'chalv Lohayu Osrim Misafek. Mishum deleka ella isura derabanan de derech bishol asra Torah. Let's go slowly. If you take the stomach lining of a kosher animal and you use it because of its power, its enzyme, to curdle milk, in the worst case scenario, let's assume that it, meaning this piece of meat, which we call the stomach, the arkeva, gave taste, gave time into the cholov, what kind of Easter can you produce? In the worst case scenario, let's say it gave time, as the Mishnah says. Can I hear an answer? Only an Easter Rabbanan. Why? Because there was no Bishol. Says Tosfos, Masha Einkein. If let's say you took the stomach lining of an nevela and you used it to curdle your milk, says Tosfos, if you did such a thing, that would engender an Iser d'oraisa of nevela. Because what's the difference? Why is it that if this animal was a kshera, and you took its stomach lining, and it was checked properly, and you took the stomach lining, you used it to curdle the milk, even though it gave tam, it would be in the worst case scenario only d'rabbanan. But if you took an animal, the stomach lining of a kosher animal that died without shechita nevela, and you used it to curdle the milk, that would be an Iser d'oraisa. What's the difference? It's exactly identical. Certainly, if you sent it to a scientist or to a laboratory, he would see no difference between the two cases. He doesn't know anything about shechita, right? The chemist in the, he doesn't know anything about nevela. To him, it's all the same. So where is the difference? In both cases, you give this curdled milk to a kfela, and what does he tell you? He tastes the tam of meat, correct? No, so why am I claiming that if this curdling took place from the stomach of a kosher animal, shechli probably, it's only an Issa d'Rabbanan, whereas if it was an avela, it engenders an Issa d'Oraisa, my high. What's the difference? But what's the answer of both sides? Says Tosfos. John, can you help me out here? What are the last four words of Tosfos? Derech, Bishol Asr Torah. In basa v'chol, it's not enough to have nesinas tam. Nesinas tam is one condition, but that's not the whole story. I need another condition to be fulfilled. I got to check off another box. How did this tam of cholav get into the basa, or basa into the cholav? Only through what? Through bishul, the process of curdling milk, in which you use the stomach lining of an animal that was kosher, is not derech bishul. The Rabbanan will aser it because whenever there's nesinas tam without bishul, the Rabbanan said it's aser. They created a new cheftza called basmachov the Rabbanan. But in the case of nevela, where I only have one condition, and that's what? Nesinas tam, once the nevela gives tam into the heter, it asks the heter, I don't need a second condition of what? Bishol. Of derech bishul, is therefore it creates an isa doraisa. Now you'll ask me, Rabosai, and Tosfos asks himself this question: what difference to make whether you call it an isa derabban or an isa doraisa? You want to buy these cheeses from a non-Jewish cheese seller, right? And he's got some really good cheeses. I don't know, gentlemen, if you like cheese. In certain hotels, they'll give you a choice of 15 different types of cheeses. For some of us, it's all min bimino, they all taste the same. But those who are connoisseurs, they'll know the difference. Why is it that I can't buy this cheese? The answer is because the animal, the stomach lining, was an avela. Forget about an avela. Call it basa b'chalav d'rabbanan. You want to answer the question, why I can't buy this cheese? The answer is because it's d'rabbanan. Even if it would be a behema kshera, but insofar as the stomach lining gives a tam of basar into the cholav, that itself is enough to aser it min rabbanan. So when the Gemara asked the question, again, let's go back to the scenario. The guy has a hechsher, he's got a tudah that says that all the animals he used for curdling milk were all badat's hechsher, he bought it from a Jew. I still can't eat this cheese. Why? Because once he admits that he used rennet, he used the stomach lining in order to curdle his cheese, I've got a problem with basa b'chalav. Albeit midrabbanon, midraisa, there's no basa b'chalav because there are vishalas in Torah. But what difference does it make whether you call it midraisa or midrabbanon? What is Tosis's answer? No, you didn't see the Tosis, yes.
Suffolk.
Exactly, suffolk. I don't know that the cheese that was produced by the cheesemaker was made with rennet. There are many other ways of curdling milk and creating cheese. Ella, what? I have a suffolk? I don't know. Maybe he used the stomach lining of what? Of an animal, right? Maybe that's the way he curdled his milk. That rennet is a very powerful enzyme, very sophisticated. Maybe that's what he did. Oh, so what do I do if I don't know? I have a suffix. See what I might say? Let's ask him. But for that we need a tudah. He doesn't have a tudah, okay? So the answer is, I have to be choshish mitzad suffix. That what? That this stomach lining that he used was the stomach lining of what, Rabosai? What does the Gemara say in the Vela? If it was the stomach lining of a Kshera, well, I don't know if he used the stomach lining at all. And even in the worst case scenario, if he used the stomach lining, it would only be a Kshera. If he had that tudah, that he right, his animals came, then it would be an Isa Drabbanon, because as far as Bas Mechav is, Derech Bishul Asur Torah. Now, I have a Safik Drabbanon. If, on the other hand, I have to worry about the fact that he used one of his own animals, he has no Hechsher to say that he purchased these animals from a kosher butcher, then I have an Issa Nevela, and now my suffix is on a whole different level. It's a suffix doris. So the only way of justifying the Gemara's premise that you're not allowed to buy non-kosher cheese from a guy is under the premise that he may have used rennet of an animal that was Nevela. If you may have used the rennet of an animal, period, which means of a kshera, then I would say, I don't know if he did use it or he didn't use it. Maybe he curdled it with other methods, and therefore I have a suffix to Rabban and Lakula. That's the fundamental difference between a suffix to rice and a suffix to Rabban. Rabosa, have you ever heard of the Shev Shmaitata? Yeah. The first Shmaitata records a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rashba on a very fundamental question. When we say suffix to rice and lechumra, what kind of Easter is that? Is that an Issa d'oraisa or an Issa d'rabbanan? Do you remember the Shev Shmaita? to beautiful Shem Shmai, to the first Aleph Aleph. It's very easy to remember. You know, we just spent last week, we spent a lot of time on Gimel Zion. Gimel Zion is where the Shem Shmai breaks new ground on the concept of Chazaka. And he says that Chazaka could only work when the question is on the mikveh itself, or on the trait, on the animal itself. But anyway, the first Shmaita Torah, which, by the way, he really authored it when he was in Shivas Yemei HaMishteh. You know that. Unbelievable what a genius he was. He's more famous for a different work, perhaps, called the Ketzos HaChoshen. But nevertheless, the same author, the Ketzos, he wrote a book called Shev Shmaita Torah. And in the first Shmaita, he wants to know whether this din of Safik Doraisa L'chumra is itself Dirabanan, or it's Doraisa. When the Torah asks something, does the Torah ask it even in a situation of Safik? Well, no. The Torah only asks Vadai. And the Rabbanan are the ones who ask in Safik. So here comes the famous Kasha of the Rabban. The Rabban says that he doesn't understand the difference between a Safek Doraisa and a Safek Drabban. And he uses this as a springboard to attack the Rambam. The Rambam says that every Drabban, why do I have to listen to the Rambam? Did you ever think of that question? We're all good boys, we like to listen to what the rabbis tell us, but who says I have to listen to the Rambam? So the Rambam says that the reason I have to listen to the Rambam is because the Torah says what? Don't answer it once, lo. So the Ramban asked the Kasha, according to the Rambam, every time I violated the Rabbanan, if I eat, for example, basar of b'chol, if we pass in like Rabbi Akiva, that basar of b'chol of chicken with milk is only the Rabbanan. So if Chas Shomai would eat that combination, says the Rambam, I violated Issa Doraisa of lo sasur. Again, if I do it deliberately, again, that's a whole other discussion. So the Ramban says that every Safek Doraisa, by definition, every Safek Rabbanan, by definition, is a Safek. Is a Safek Doraisa, because if I violate it, I'm violating an Iser Torah of Losos. So you remember this? So this old hat for you.
Yeah, I remember.
Where did you learn it? With me or with someone else? No, I wasn't Zohar. Okay. Alright. Let's take a look at the Sugi itself. Okay, we're going to skip the Sefer the Mishnah for the time being, just to get to the Gemara. Okay. Back to Gemara, Atu Kevas Oved Kochavim Lav Nevela. He, I don't get it. You just finished telling me that the milk, this congealed milk, which we call Keva, that you found has the status of the animal itself, and the animal is Nevela. No, so why do you have to tell me Oved Kochavim? Obviously, an animal of an Oved Kochavim is a Nevela, correct? Which means that the shechita of an Ovid Kochavim is not a valid shechita, the Torah doesn't recognize. So here we have a sugya called Rav Huna and Shmuel. Omar Rav Huna says the following. Hacha, here what we're talking about is a case below keach gidi min ha'Ovid Kochavim askinan. So the Jew purchased an animal from whom? From the gut. Correct? Okay, now who shechted the animal?
The Jew,
so it's not an avela. Correct? So what does it mean, shall avodas kochavim? It means the animal was owned by an avodas kochavim. Now, what difference it make if the animal was owned by an oved kochavim? When you're talking about the keva itself, the milk itself, if the Jew shechted the animal and he bought a gdi, which is a kosher animal, right? Goat's milk, that's how my grandmother supported the family back in Lithuania 100 years ago. They had a goat until the goat was attacked by a wolf and it became a trefer. But anyway, that was the saddest moment of my father's life, because for 12 years he was so attached to this gdi until the wolf attacked the gdi. Anyway, be that as it may, so he bought a kosher animal from a guy and he shechted it. Rabosai, is there some halacha that I'm not aware of, that every time you buy a goat you have to buy it from a Jew and not from a guy? What difference make when you bought it from a guy or not? Oh, the nafka min is going to be the cholov that you find inside the gdi after you shechted it. Chayshina, we're afraid. Shema yonak min ha-trefa. So, Doc, when the Gemara analyzes this keva, from what perspective is the Gemara analyzing it? From the perspective of the animal, or from the perspective of the mother that supplied the milk for the animal? the mother, correct? And therefore, since the mother was a treifa, now let's talk about a treifa. What's a treifa? But both, is that a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal?
It's a kosher animal.
Kosher animal, excellent. It's a kosher animal that will die because of a puncture torn of internal organs, the 18 categories, within a 12-month period. Again, what happens if the treifa lives beyond the 12-month period? I guess it's not a treifa. But assuming it dies, right, then we have to assume it's going to die, and it died within that period because of the puncture. So the milk now has the same din of yotzim and asur as treifa. So if this gedi, right, before you bought it from the guy, was yonik, was nursing from a treifa, then we have the status of the milk is identical to the mother, right? That's the milk came out of a treifa, and that chol of shel treifa is awesome. The only problem I have over here is, do we have to assume that every animal walking the streets is a treifa? That's a little bit odd. I mean, a treifa is an animal that had some sort of injury. Why should we assume that it came from a treifa? We usually have a principle called azlidin basar ruba, and rove animals are not treifas. In fact, the Gemara umichai shinon shemi yonak mina treifa. Maybe you want to say that there was a special gzeres chachamim that any time you buy a non-Jewish animal, you have to worry about the fact that it was a treifa. Now, Rabosai, I have another question on this Gemara, but I haven't researched this yet. So, if you have an answer, let me hear. What do you mean you're afraid that the gdi was yonek mina treifa? Why don't we just shech the gdi and see whether it's a treifa or not? That's what we always do. John's laughing because I know it's a ridiculous question. I just want to see if you're awake or not. What?
The problem is the milk.
Correct. The problem is not the gdi. The problem is the source of the milk that the gdi was yonek from. That animal we don't have in front of us. So the Gemara says, should we be choshish that animal is a treifa? We have a Mishnah, exactly. I don't know if it's a Mishnah or a Braisa, it depends on the girsa here. Let's assume it's a Braisa, because usually when we find something in brackets, and as opposed to something in parentheses, I don't know, is that how you say it in South Africa?
Brackets.
Brackets, but no, what's the other thing called? Is that called parentheses? You know, the half C's, you know what I'm talking about? No, that's called brackets? Oh boy, now we have a cultural problem. Because you see, the word Vartanya from an American English is called in brackets. So what would you call that in South Africa when you have those half frames?
When we have stuff like South African, we go with...
No, seriously, what's the word in South Africa for what we call brackets?
The square ones.
The square ones, right.
Square brackets, I guess.
Oh, square brackets. Okay, so we're not too far away. I mean, the difference is that you guys are square. No, I'm just joking. So anyway, so you have a square brackets. Yeah, Josh, what do you say?
No, the Gemara makes the assumption, it takes for granted that if a Jew owns an animal, he's going to guard it.
Excellent. Okay, you machavi to next Gemara. We have all these brilliant South Africans here, the square brackets. I like it. Okay, so Josh, hold on for just 1 minute, and the Gemara is going to actually come up with your brilliant idea. But right now, the Gemara doesn't know that secret, and the Gemara says the following: Vatanya, we learned in a brisa, lochin beitzim and ovei kochavim. You and I go to the store and we buy eggs, correct? And you can go to any store. You don't have to go to Checkers to the kosher department. You can go to any store that you want and buy eggs, right? How do you know the egg came from a non-treifa? Maybe it came from a treifa. So the Gemara says, oh, so the truth of the matter is that it's not really such a big chiddush that you don't assume it's a treifa. The big chiddush is that maybe it came from a nevela. That's what this price is coming to mechadish. Ein choshin lo mishum nevela velo mishum treifa. See, the first case of the nevela has to come under a lot of advisement, because if you go into the store and you buy eggs, maybe the eggs came from a nevela. Now you'll ask me, how could eggs come from a nevela? The nevela died, correct? So the answer is that sometimes when after the animal dies, we find the eggs inside the animal. And those are called beitzei nevela. And they have the same status as nevela because, again, the principle of yotzim and asur. Okay. And number two, velomina treifa. Okay. So in the case of nevela, I understand. What are the chances that when you buy an egg in the store, it came from a nevela? Very rare. But the big chiddush here is lomina treifa. Maybe the animal itself, let's say you find eggs from a chicken, maybe the chicken was a trefa. We don't know. We have no way of checking. So you buy the egg. The answer is we have every reason to assume that most chickens are not trefa. We can go basar, rov. So the Gemara therefore has upslugged Rav Huna. Now Rav Huna is in deep trouble. Because what's Rav Huna telling me? That if I buy a gdi from a Jew, right? I'm sorry. If I buy a gdi from a guy, I have to worry that maybe the gdi was... No, I'm sorry. What's the case again? I got confused.
Yeah,
from a guy. I got that right? Okay. Yeah. But I have to be afraid that maybe that gdi, even though the Jew shechted it properly, etc., etc., that gdi was yonek from a trefa. Why should I be choshev yom kippur? If that be the case, I shouldn't be able to eat beitzim because eggs came from a trefa. Ela ema... Maybe this gedi was sucking milk from a pig, from a non-kosher animal, from a camel. Okay, I don't know the status of a camel, but giraffe. It's one of the big five, but I don't know if a giraffe is kosher. Maybe it is kosher. Maybe it's not kosher. We don't know the shechted. Whatever it might be. So the answer is that in such a case, we cannot allow using this milk, you know, drinking this milk, because maybe the milk came from a source that was non-kosher, literally non-kosher. And if you ask me the question, how many animals are out there that are kosher and how many animals are out there that are non-kosher? I mean, of the milk-producing animals. Here, I don't know if I can tell you that rov are coming from the kosher animals. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. If that be the case... Maishna trefa de lo chayshinon, maishna tmeya de chayshinon. Now, this Gemara doesn't understand the difference between a trefa and a kosher animal, and a tmeya, excuse me, a non-kosher animal. So the Gemara answers, trefa lo shchicha, how often is it that the animal dies, you know, prematurely of an injury? But tmeya shchicha, there are many, many animals that are non-kosher out there. So the Gemara says, then we have a problem. Because then we can't eat cheese. We can never eat cheese. Let's say the cheese was produced by a Jew from an animal that was raised by the Jew. But we don't know if this milk that I find in the animal might not have been from a yanika of a tmeya. Okay, there's no problem with tmeya. I'm sorry, of a trefa. There's no problem with a trefa because we say trefa lo shchia, but maybe it was yonek from an animal that was tmeya. So the Gemara answers, sorry, the Gemara yishchicha filu gabe didan nechush. And the Gemara answers, anan debadlinon minayhu. Josh, this is your answer. What does it mean, badlinon minayhu? We make sure that our animals will not come in contact with behemoth tmeos, we keep them separate. And therefore, we don't have any reason to assume that if we raise this animal, the milk that we find inside the stomach after we shech the animal was yanika from a non-kosher animal. The chichai zinin luhu, let's say we see that the animal is being yonekes from a tmeo, right? We see that the animal is moving towards a tmeo, is mafreshinin luhu. So I don't know if mafreshin luhu means before it's yanika or after it's yanika we set it aside so that we know that we won't drink the milk after we shecht it. But be that as it may, we have a serious supervision here to make sure, and a reliable supervision to make sure that the milk is not from a non-kosher source. Therefore, lo gazru bei rabbanon. However, inhu, inhu means they. Who's this referring to? The goyim. If we buy cheese from a goy, delo bedil minayu, they don't care one way or the other whether the animal is yonek from a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal. V'chisachazulu, if they see that the animal is being yonek is from a tmeya, lo mafreshiluhu, they will not separate it. Is gazru bei rabbanan, and the chachom are afraid that this milk comes from a non-kosher source. So I'm also, if we summarize Rav Huna, which I call Roman numeral number one in this sugya, we come to the conclusion that the status of the keva, meaning of the chala of karush in the keva, is identical with the status of the source of that milk. We don't view the milk as part and parcel of the animal and has a din of Nevelin so far it's Gufa Behema. No, we look back and try to identify the source of the animal. Chachom are afraid that the source of the animal is, of the milk of the animal, I should say, is a non-kosher animal, and therefore the cheeses that you buy from a guy have to be prohibited. And that means, Rabosai, even if you didn't buy the cheese directly from the guy, or you didn't find the milk directly from the guy, but rather you bought the gdi from a guy, correct? Because again, if you found the cheese in an avela, that's a half a chiddush. But here I bought the animal from a Jew, correct? But I bought the animal from a non-Jew. But the answer is, if the animal was raised by a non-Jew, we have no way of supervising where the milk came from. And they have came indeed from, may have come indeed from a behemoth male. We're not afraid of treifa, but we're afraid of Shmuel Omar. Shmuel says charek tani. Now this is going to be repealed in just a minute, but right now Shmuel assumes that you have to take out the vav. You see, if you go back to the Mishnah for a second, the Mishnah says kevas oved kolchavim vi shel nevela, which means they're two separate categories. So he's going to take out that separation between the two, chadok toni, which means that the Mishnah really says kevas oved kolchavim. And when it says Vishal Nevela, what it really means is Kevas Shchitas Oved Kochavim Nevela. Again, it's a little bit of a stretch, but what he's saying is that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the animal was shechted by an Oved Kochavim, and the Mishnah wants to tell us that by definition, since the Torah, the Halacha, doesn't recognize that Shchita, it's not valid, therefore the animal is a Nevela. And if it's a Nevela, therefore it's Osir. So wait a minute, there's a fundamental difference here between Shmuel and Rav Huna. Rav Huna was saying that the Oved Kochavim means that you bought the animal from the Oved Kochavim, which means that the problem with the milk when you shech this gdi that you bought from an akum is that the milk came from a non-kosher animal. According to Shmuel, on the other hand, the problem here is Nevela, meaning that the animal was shechted by a guy. Shmuel doesn't care one, he doesn't bat an eyelash as to ask the question, where is the source of this milk? I couldn't care less, even if you guarantee me that this particular animal, this gedi, that died without shechit, or I mean to say was shechted by an akum, that this gedi was yonekes from other animals that were kosher animals, it wouldn't make a dent, it would still be osur. Why is this keva, excuse me, why is the chol of koresh osur? Because of nevela, because the guy shechted it. So what engenders that isur? What engenders that isur on the keva? The answer is that the keva itself, the milk itself that's congealed, has the same identical status as what? As the basar. So Doc, if we go back to your point, what is the oser of keva in the ratio of that Mishnah? And the answer is it depends on Rav Huna and Shmuel. According to Rav Huna, the oser is the source, because the milk itself is a separate entity. Where did this milk come from? The milk itself is kanus. According to Shmuel, the oser is the animal itself. No, but the animal is a kosher animal, but the answer is it died without shechita, and if it died without shechita, it's nevela, and now it has the status of nevela. And honestly speaking, I find it hard to believe that Shmuel is talking about an isa doraisa. Because why should this milk, which was absolutely kosher, correct, it's the milk of a gedi, all of a sudden become prohibited? The answer is because the animal died without shechita. So what? Why should that engender an iser into the milk? In other words, let's say I buy the milk immediately after the animal died. You know, I'm waiting online, watching the guy shecht it, and now I open the animal and take out the milk, that congealed milk, and yet it's awesome. Why? Because it's an avela. And I believe, therefore, that Shmuel is talking about an iser derabbanan. And that is that we treat the milk as basar, and in this case as nevela, only midrabbanan. It's not a yotzim and a asar. Like the case of Yanika, It didn't. The milk didn't come. It wasn't produced by this animal. If it was produced by the animal, then maybe we should call it kosher. But the answer is, it has a din of basar. And that's what the Gemara is going to say over here. We have one more minute to make it to Mincha. Umi Amar Shmuel Hachiv Amar Shmuel Mifnei Ma Asu Gvinas Ovikachom Neshem Amidin Osa Br Kevas Nevela. Shmuel is not worried about the fact that you discover this milk in a nevela. He's worried about the fact that the guy took nevela and he used it as an agent to curdle the milk. Hakeva Gufa. Sharia, but the milk itself apparently would have been mutter. The problem is that he went ahead and he congealed the milk and curdled it by using this stomach. Lokasha kan kodim chazara kan li achar chazara. In other words, and this is totally in the sugyan of Avodah Zarah, but it means that there was a havamina and there was a maskana. What Shmuel said over there, the gufa sharia, that was only according to the havamina, but after the chazara, he would aser even the milk itself, because it has the status of basar. Okay, then, Rabbosai, we'll stop here, and we'll dive in. I see you already, Ashrei.